Whence cometh wisdom? Part 2, Job chapter 28, verses 20 to 28. We began last week with the three thoughts that wisdom is not found in this world's wealth, verse 1 to 11. And wisdom is valued above this world's wealth, verse 12 to 9. And from verse 20 to 28, wisdom cometh from God and his fear. When a man of God fears God, in other words, he would take time to understand God and his ways, then God, by his wisdom, by his imparting of his ways to us, makes us wise unto salvation. Wisdom comes from the fear of God. The fear of God is a deep reverence for God, for who he is, as he reveals himself, as he revealed himself in Scripture. And the true practice of it, when we have the fear of God in our hearts, enables a man to live a life of holiness, delighting to obey God's commandments, turning away from evil. You see, you recall in the garden when God instructed Adam and Eve not to partake the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When they would partake of it, their eyes would be opened to discern good and evil. What was the problem with that? Well, they would be as God, and they would have to make decisions in their imperfection, which most of the time lead to great disaster. And this was the cause for God's warning not to partake of the tree, fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they would be like God. Men aspire to have that wisdom, that authority, that power, that dominion to run their life. But this was not to be. And the reason God allowed men the past 7,000 years of history is to help us to see how we didn't come a long way, in the sense that, well, we have been going round in circles. We haven't learned our lesson. And how can we learn our lesson? Well, by taking hold of God's redemption plan. When Adam and Eve fell, God provided the way out. God made the coats of skin to cover their nakedness, prefiguring the Christ that is to come many thousand years later. You remember, they sew fig leaves to cover their nakedness, and yet it did not take away their guilt. It causes much fear in their heart. And here the Lord is teaching us a better way. Adam and Eve were banished out of the sanctuary of God, out of the garden, from the presence of God, as it were. Though God would clothe them and God would continue to be with them, but the fall of men, the nature of sin, becomes a contending force in their environment. And is there a way out of man's misery? The ultimate destination is death, when man would have to die as a result of wanting to choose to run his own life. The inevitable outcome And yet, God has provided the way out. And the God-fearer, the man who chooses to fear God, finds the way out, finds peace, and finds help for life. Job, by God's grace, learn the fear of God. Learn to obey God by the grace of God, to maintain his ways before God in steadfastness of faith. This is the great gain of godliness that the Lord would seek that his people would cultivate. So that when you are tested, you have the wherewithal within you, the armor of God, to wage a good warfare. It receives true blessing, God's blessing. So in verse 28 it said, "Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." Not to sin. To choose not to sin. To flee from every temptation. How powerful it is. The holy life, the life of godliness, is indeed great gain. And Job is articulating for us, in the midst of all the suffering, he is a great winner of it all. Job reveals to us the secret of his strength during trial. It was the deep water faith that undergirded his life. For Job, it enables him to live in submission to God's leading in his life, without him knowing the deep mechanics of it. As we said last week, quoting Matthew Henry, "The knowledge of the reasons of state in God's government of the world is kept from us. And we must neither pretend to it nor reach after it." Job's friends erred in claiming to be able to trace the mechanics of God's working in Job's life, concluding that his adversity is a result of his sin. They were so wrong, and they became miserable comforters. They became afflictors. True wisdom is not found, we saw, in seeking this world's wealth last week, not found in the material treasures of earth that Job described, that is found so deep within the earth. It has to be so painstakingly mined. We spoke of the gold rush, the gold fever, and Job tells us that finding true wisdom is more profitable than mining the best earth metals. And we also make that comparison with what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, where we saw how the men of God ought to seek the wisdom of God, how it is priced far above rubies. And by the diligent search in the things of God, if you would take time to study the Word of God, we would take time to meditate upon God's Word, that's where true wisdom comes. You remember Daniel and his three friends who were in Babylon? They were in hostile enemy terrain, and how the Lord prospered them. God grant them the wisdom not to eat the food that were offered to the idols, and how their countenance were strong, fairer. How did it come about? Well, by God's blessing upon them when they kept themselves pure, when they kept themselves clean, as a clean vessel unto God, and how God granted them great wisdom, wisdom that surpassed the wisdom of all the men in the courts of Babylon, 10 times better. This is God's wisdom for us. And Job tells us that the wisdom that he has in enabling him to live life, even the valley moments of life, came from his deep study and constant cleaving to his God. How do we make choices? We make choices every day. How do we walk in the path of God's blessing? Well, we are to search diligently the scriptures, and in it we will find the fear of God and find the knowledge of God, wisdom of God, and understanding, so that we would know what to do. Do you do that? Is this your modus operandi? Do you function that way? How can you function that way? The Lord seeks that we would renew our mind. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that we are to give ourselves over to God, present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, and we are to keep ourselves away from the world, not conform to this world, but be transformed by the meditation upon the Word of God, by the renewing of our mind, by taking time to know the will of God, and by the fear of God, to exercise restraint, to exercise to godliness, unto godliness. And this is what the Lord is seeking that we will do. And so he tells us that we are to value wisdom, God's wisdom, more than this world's wealth. That was the second point. And we saw how the futility, we saw the futility of this world's pursuit. And Job tells us how all the goal of this world cannot be compared with the wisdom of God. For the wisdom, the price of wisdom is above rubies, he says in verse 18. And so material wealth seemed to be the solution to man's problems in this world, but it is not. If a man has wealth of this world, he, in the eyes of the world, is accomplished for life. This is not true, Job explains. And he seeks for us to live a better life, not the material life, and how our mind need to be renewed. How long does it take for a man to be renewed in the mind? To change. To realize that we have gone wrong. Well, the realization. When the fear of God struck us. When we realize that we have erred. We have wandered away from God. And so the third thought: wisdom cometh from God and his fear. Verse 20. Whence cometh then wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Seeing that it is hid from all the eyes of the living and kept close from the fowls of the air. God frames the world, and he also is sustaining it by his wisdom, by his wise decrees. Even the winds and the waters and the rain are all under his direct purview, direct decree. And we saw this in our Lord's time on earth, how he stilled the storm, how he calmed the waters, how he gave to Peter the gold coin from the fish that swam. And the Lord seeks that his people would endeavor to know him, to know true wisdom. Dennis Gibson explained this, our text, very well. He says, the goal of wisdom is to know the true God and to fear him. It's possible to have the knowledge without wisdom, but it's not possible to have wisdom without knowledge. And here is the threefold way by which you and I may know God better. How do you know God? How do you know God? Well, it comes with a fear of God. This is what Job is saying. See, respect, the first thought. God is our instructor. If you have respect unto God, then you would take time to examine and know what he's trying to say to you. You see, if there is a, you know, get rich scheme, yeah, you'll be a millionaire the next day. And today you have to study it. Would you, well, spend all your energy so that, you know, you would receive your next million in no time? Well, here it is. This is prized above rubies, the word of God. If we would have respect unto God, he is the master teacher. The Lord giveth wisdom, knowledge and understanding. Do you take time to read the word of God? How much time do you take to read? Not just to read, but to meditate, to think about what God is saying to you. Or is it a rush every time when you read the word of God? It's as if you wanted to learn and yet you are not, because you are pulled away. You have some other priorities. All the time you have some other priorities. And here, that is where you see the difference. When a trial comes, the man of God will respond differently from the man who have not been spending time with God. You would see a stark contrast. And so here, Dennis Gibson rightly says that when we have respect unto God and his instruction, we would give God the priority in our life, in our time, our energy, our best time. That's where we learn. Treasures of wisdom are hid in the Lord. By the Holy Spirit, it is taught to us. How powerful is that wisdom? You look at Daniel. God grant to him great wisdom. And the man of God, you look at all the various heroes of faith. You remember there was a year and we spent time to study Hebrews 11. All the various men of God, how they make exploits in their lives. Respect, Dennis Gibson says, unto God, and to receive God as Savior. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Sound wisdom, a firmness leading to health and salvation. Sound doctrine. How important it is that we learn sound principles of life, for life. That's the meaning of the word doctrine. Principles. If you don't have principles, then it's easy for us to go wrong. And here the word of God teaches us. And we are to take time to learn so that we will be protected. Rely on God for our protection. This is what Dennis Gibson shared with us here. Very right. Right? This is what Job has experienced. God protected him throughout his affliction, time of his affliction. God was there with him. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. This is a picture of God's keeping power as seen in the scriptures. When we walk in obedience to God's truth, we will know daily protection. The path of the believer is fraught with dangers, beset with temptations. Fears lurk on every hand. We live in a perilous, polluted world where the forces of destruction are constantly at work. So if you will take time, meditate, reading upon God's word, you will realize that your senses, spiritual senses, will be very sensitive. You will know how dangerous, how perilous this world is, how polluted, how corrupted this world is. And God will be your shield. He will be your buckler. And you will be kept by His power. Whence cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? It's not found innately in created beings, as what Job explains to us in verse 21 and verse 22. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air, destruction and death saith, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Meaning the dead that are in the pit of destruction, the grave, not their bodies there, devoid of life and sense, and know not anything, but their souls, either the damned in hell or the saints in heaven. Dear friends, we don't know now the afterlife, but the Word of God already warns us. Do we wait until the time when it's too late in the afterlife that we see the reality of heaven and hell? Let us not do so. Because if we would be willing to know and understand, then you would be like Job, who would say, I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand in the latter days. Well, Jesus Christ will come and receive his church to glory. And he will establish his millennial kingdom on earth and rule with his saints for 1,000 years. The plan of God, the dominion of God. Do you understand the plan of God? Well, man lives under the purview of the Creator's decrees. This is what the Lord wants us to learn. A mind-boggling thought to the unbelieving, but to the child of God, he learns to subsist under the perfect care of God. This is the secret to true meaning in life. Job understood this. His understanding of God gave him the grace to handle the deep affliction that he was going through. He learns to trust God without knowing the how or the why. He handed over his life for God to order. How blessed it is. This is life with God, a most blessed life. Jesus says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Dear friends, do you understand that? Peter and the apostles understood this. They said, from whence shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The late Rogers observed well. He says, we have nothing that God needs. Think about that. If I were to give God my riches, I couldn't make him richer. He owns everything. If I were to give him my wisdom, I wouldn't make him wiser. He's the all-wise God. If I were to give God my power, I couldn't make God more powerful. He's omnipotent. God wants one thing from his children: our hearts. If we pray to God without giving him our heart, we are mocking him. If we preach without giving God our heart, we are preaching in ignorance. God is saying to us today, give me your heart. Dear friends, how will you respond? Are you giving God your heart? Is your heart divided? God seeks that His people may not have a divided heart, but a heart that is wholeheartedly devoted to Him. That's where they receive true blessing. And this is the life of Job, that God had commended even to Satan. He says to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, 23 to 27, if a man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. God is saying to us here that we need to learn the divine mathematics for life. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Job understood this. His life was totally given over, totally surrendered to God. It is the reason why God enabled him to triumph over the great temptation, trial that has befallen him. Verse 23, God understandeth the way thereof. He knoweth the place thereof. Job understood it. Where we are going, we don't know, in the sense that we cannot see the future. But God knows, and Job is able to say that he trusted God to lead him. Job 23 verse 10, you recall. But I know the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He explains the way of life with God. Verse 8 and 9 of Job 23. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth go work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. This is God, so great. Although Job does not know the way ahead, he knows where he is going. These are the words given to Israel when they were ushered off into captivity. The men included, as we saw, Daniel and his three friends. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Well, after 70 years, after God would chastise them, they would return and they would rebuild the temple. And the glory of the second temple will far exceed the first temple. For it was the temple in which our Lord himself would visit. We will reach our heavenly home, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, the journey may seem so uncertain, fraught with danger, as Job admits. Yet he sought to be connected with his God. Job 23, verse 11 to 17. My foot have held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. A God-fearer's heart of submission. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. A God-fearer's soul, yearning to know God, to know God and to be filled with God's ways and thoughts. But he's in one mind, who can turn from him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. It was so tough, as the psalmist in Psalm 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He knew that God is so powerful, and God can do anything if he would want to touch us. We would fall immediately. The God-fearer has no fear in his journey of life. He knew that God would take care of him. This is what the psalmist is saying here. For he looketh, verse 24, to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. Here the late Rajas observed well. There are things, certain things God is not going to reveal. And that is good news. Who wants to believe in a God they can put in a box and completely understand? He says, not me. Would you? Well, just like the dumb idol that you make with your hands. This is it. This is it. You can see it, you can feel it, and this is all it is. Everything. You can take a bucket to the ocean and dip out a bucket full of water. Everything in that bucket is ocean. But all of the ocean is not in that bucket. With our bucket-sized minds, as we compare, we are never going to know all that there is about God. I'm not, Roger says. You are not. Nobody is. And so Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong unto God, the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed belong to us, unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. God has given us enough for this life, enough to go through. He has already tell us the plan all the way to eternity. How privileged we are. How blessed we are. How great it is to walk with God. What belongs to God? What belongs to you? What are you doing with the things God has given you? How are you using your life? In conclusion, let us search the scriptures and seek to obey it for his honor and glory, granting us needful strength in every trial and overcoming every temptation. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy grace in strengthening us to understand thy holy will. May thou be gracious to bless us with understanding and bless our life as we draw close to thee. This I pray with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name. Amen.